Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Tzadi Ches. We left off on the Mishnah, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored, by Drs. Avi and Ellen Freilich in memory of Avi's mother, Rabbanit Yehudis Bas Reuven. Allah Shalom is Yartza is today. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by members of our shul, Lezecha Nishmas, Rabbi John. Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Levracha, Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we're holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to talk about today. The Mishnah is going to talk about two cases of people reading from a sefer in a Rosh Hashayachid, while the other end of the sefer rolls out into another area. So the Gemara is going to give three explanations of exactly what the specifics of the case are. The Mishnah is going to be somewhat cryptic about the specifics, but that's going to be the first. That's going to be the discussion of the Mishnah. The Gemara is then going to qualify the second case of the Mishnah as talking about a sefer that's not dangling in midair, but is actually resting on a slanted wall. And they're going to discuss how that fits in with the rest of the Mishnah. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a couple of Mishnayos. The first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about whether somebody can carry things from a house to a window ledge, and then the second Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about if you're standing on one Rishus, can you manipulate and move items in another Rishos? You're in a Rishos Yachid, can you move things in a Rishos Rabim, or vice versa? So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Yekari v'sefer, if a person is reading a sefer, of course, meaning not just a book, a sefer kodesh. You're reading a scroll that has Kedusha. Al iskufa, and you're on the stoop in front of your house, by the threshold, on the entranceway into the house, v'nis galgal sefer miyado, and the sefer rolls out of your hand. We're assuming obviously that a sefer, this is way before they ever had any sfarim that looked like this, like a book. We're talking about a sefer that's obviously in a scroll, so it rolls out miyado, so you're allowed to bring the other edge back to you, roll it back up onto the iskofa. That's not a problem. So if you're reading it from a scroll on the threshold of your house and the scroll rolled outside, you can roll it back. You have one end with you anyway, you can roll it right back with you. But a second case, if you're reading on top of a roof, which is a rishos Yachid, meaning we didn't define what the Eskofa is, and we didn't define what the Rishos outside of the Eskofa is. But now, in case number two, pretty clear, Rosh Hagag is definitely a Rishos HaYachid. You're reading on top of a roof. V'niskalgal HaSefer Miyado, and the Sefer rolls out from your hand to the airspace of a Rishos HaRabim, but you're still holding one edge by the Rishos HaYachid, and it's just the other end of the Sefer is rolling down toward the Rishos HaRabim. So Adshlo Yigiel HaSar Tfachim Golalotso. So the first Shita in the Mishnah is the Tanakama, that if it's not yet within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then certainly you can roll it back to where you are on top of the roof, because the Avi Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only up until 10 tefachim. More than 10 tefachim off the ground is not even Avi of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But Mishagia Lasar tefachim of Chalak Sav. But once it gets to within 10 tefachim of the ground, then you can't roll it back. You have to, it's considered like it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so you have to just flip it over so the letters are facing the wall. Otherwise, it would be a bizayon if the letters are facing out. If the words of Kedusha are facing outward, that would be a bizayon to the sefer. So you don't have any option. You can't bring it back. It's going to be an issue to bring it back. So you just flip it over. That is the Tanakama Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu Ein Mesulak Min Haaretz Ela Kumala Machat. That even if it's just a tiny drop off of the ground, Golo Etzlo, you can still bring it back. You don't have to. If it's even though it's well within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it's a bit off the ground, that's enough to be golo etzlo, to roll it right back. Rabbi Shimon Omer, third shita, afilu ba'aretz atzmo, even if it's already resting, the other end of the book, of the scroll, is resting in the Rishos Rabim, golo etzlo, you could still roll it back, she'elucha davar mishum shavus, omid b'fnei kisvei HaKodesh, because the whole issue over here is only an issue on a drabbanan level, because even if the other end of the sefer is in Rishos Rabim, but since you're holding one end in the Rishos HaYachid, there's no issu d'oraisa to bring it back. back. It's not like you're being oker something that's entirely in a Rishus Rabim and bringing it back into Rishus Yachid. It's already partially in the Rishus Yachid, so that would not constitute a violation of Nisa D'Oraisa. It would only be in Nisa D'Rabbanan, and the other option is Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh. So Chacham are going to be Mevatel their Gezerah when it comes to being Mechabit Sifrei Kodesh properly. So that's the second case. So again, the first case of the Mishnah is you're on the stoop of your house, but it doesn't identify what is the stoop of your house. Is it Rishus Yachid? Is it Carmelis? What exactly is it? And it rolls outside, and we didn't identify what outside. Is that a Rishus Aram? Is that a Carmelis? What exactly is outside of the... So that was a little less clear. It just said you can roll it back. Second case, a little more clear. You're on a roof, which is Rishus Yachid. The other end of the Sefer rolls down toward the Rishus Arabim. Three shitos, at what point you can no longer be golo etzlo. Tanakama holds if it gets within 10 tefachim. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda says, if it hits the ground, you're not allowed to be golo etzlo. And Rabbi Shimon says, even if it hits the ground, you're still allowed to bring it back because of Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, we had mentioned that according to the Tanakama, that when it gets within 10 tefachim of the ground, you're not allowed to roll it back. So what do? You're hofcho alaksav. You have to flip it over on the ksav. So Rashi writes, because the ksav should be toward the wall, because not toward the Rishus Harabim, because that would be a bizayon if we're facing toward the Rishus Harabim. In the Miyuchas Laran, he says that, you see from here, that igros shel tachnunim, that if you have tfilos that are hanging on the walls of the Bate Knesios, you should roll them up so that the ksav is not mutal bibizayon. Meaning maybe they have to unfurl them, like modem signs or whatever, that they have to unfurl them for people to be able to read the modem drabanan, but you should roll them up, because otherwise the tachnunim are facing out, and facing outward is a bizayon of Kisvei HaKodesh. But then he says, that's probably not a sefer, meaning something that has tfilos written on it is not the same as Sifrei Kodesh. It's not the same as books of Tanakh or books of Torah. Something that has tfilos written on it. There's a tshuva from Rav Rabinovich, the Rav of the Kotel, about whether they have to treat the little notes that people stick into the Kotel with respect. Because obviously they have to clean them out every once in a while. You ever wonder, like, what happens to all those notes? It's not like this never-ending holes that, like, it could just, you know, thousands and thousands of visitors could keep sticking. Every once in a while, like once a month, they'll come with a power wash at 2 in the morning when no one's there, and they'll power wash the whole kotel, and they'll wipe all the notes out of the kotel. So he has a whole tshuva whether you're allowed to do that to people's tefilos. Is that is there any kedusha to someone's tefilos? Well, certainly not Sifrei Kodesh, just because someone has tefila. Then the Miyuchas Ran says, but certainly no doubt that you're not allowed to leave Svarim open. Now you see from here, this idea of leaving the letters facing out is considered to be Zion. So you see from here, says the Miuchas Laran, that you're not allowed to leave Svarim open. There's a Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Hei Simen Yud, where he says that by Kriyas HaTorah also, after you finish reading from the Torah, you have to close the Torah. You can't leave it open without Kriya, because that's not Kvodo Shel Sefer Torah. If you leave the Ksav, Megula, that's considered a lack of Kavod for the Sefer Torah. The Taz in Yeredaya, Simen Shein Zayin, quotes in the name of the Bach, that a person shouldn't leave the room with a Sefer open up, unless he puts a Mappa over it, unless he puts some sort of cloth over it, because it's lav dafka sefer Torah. Even when you're learning other svarim, you shouldn't leave your svarim open. And he brings a raya from Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says that a sefer that doesn't have a mappa, hofchal aksav kadesh lo yisbaza aksav. You should flip it over so that the ksav is not misbaza. The shach says that you see it from our mishnah that when it gets within 10 tefachim, we're hofchal al aksav. So there's discussion in later achronim to what extent. What if you're just going to the bathroom for a second? What if you're just getting up for a minute? So sometimes people learn, and they learn with lots and lots of svarim. So it's interesting. Like, you see different the way different Talmidei Chacham learn. You see a picture of Moshe Feinstein. It's always one sefer and a pen, right? That's all Moshe ever had. He was writing and writing and writing. He had his Gemara, and he was a fountain. But you see a picture of Vadi Yosef. There are just piles of svarim all around him. They're all opened up. So every time Rav Vadia had to step out for a second, he had to close every single one of his svarim. It would take the whole the whole second seder of the day, to open and close all of the svarim. So the achronim discussed to what extent you have to do this. Yerucha Shulchan writes that it's dafka when you go to Rechov that you have to turn the svarim over, but if you go from one room to another, then it's not such a big deal. And that's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and Samas Chaim also writes, that when you go L'sha'a Kala, so you could put just put another sefer on top of it or something like that, just as a hecker, that it shouldn't be a bizayon. And some of the Sephardi poskim are a little more machmir about that, that there's a chashash of shicha or whatever. Okay, so anyway, so that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hayiskofa echidami. Going back to the first case of the Mishnah, what is the Iskofa exactly? What's the situation of the Iskofa that we said that if you're reading on the Iskofa and the Sefer is Niskal, rolls is Niskalgel, that you go, let's say, you're allowed to pull it back. Ilem Iskofa Rishos HaYachid, V'kama Rishos HaRabim. If we're talking about that the Iskofa itself is Rishos HaYachid and the area in front of it is Rishos HaRabim, and that's very similar then to the second case of the Mishnah where you're on a Gag and it rolls down toward Rishos HaRabim. V'lo Gazrinan Dilma Nafil Vasi L'Suyeh, and the Chiddush is that we're not Gozer, that maybe it's going to fall entirely out and you're going to come to carry it from the Rishos HaRabim back into the Rishos HaYachid. So money, which Tana in our Mishnah, in the second half of our Mishnah, is the first part of our Mishnah following? It seems to be following Rabbi Shimoni, Da'amar Kol Davar Shu Mishum Shvos Ein Omer Fnei Kisvei HaKodesh, that whenever there's a reason to make an Issa D'Rabbanan, but the other option is that it's going to be a Bizayon to Kisvei HaKodesh, we cannot tolerate the Bizayon to Kisvei HaKodesh. The Rabbanan will not maintain their Gzeira when it goes up against the Bizayon to Kisvei HaKodesh. So that's exactly like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda held that only if the Sefer is not touching the Karka and the Rishos HaRabim, you could bring it back. And certainly the Tanakama within 10 Tvachim. So clearly the first line in the Mishnah seems to be going like Rabbi Shimon. So says Marek ben Ema Sefer, but then you read the second halacha in the Mishnah, and it tells us Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Emesul Gminaretz, Ela Melochut Golotzo. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu Baratatzma Golotzo. So how does that make sense? Reish of the Sefer, Rabbi Shimon, Metziasa, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon appears as the last Tana in the second case of the Mishnah. So how could it be that the first case of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon? And then in the second case of the Mishnah, we have three Shittos, and the last one is Rabbi Shimon. So it doesn't make sense that we would introduce other Tanaim sandwiched in between Rabbi Shimon's. So answer the Gemara, two approaches. Number one, three approaches actually. Number one, Am Rabbi Yehuda in Reish of a Sefer Rabbi Shimon, Metziasa Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, there's nothing wrong with, meaning it's not ideal. We don't like to establish Mishnayos to be going in such a sequence where you have a Tana, then other Tanaim, then go back to the first Tana. But when there's no other option, when there's no other way to explain it, then in a Chinami, that's the way we have to explain it. So yeah, in, we will in fact say it that way. Second possible approach, Rabba Amar, that no, it's very dachuk to say that Rabbi Shimon only appears in the Reisha and the Seifa, and in between comes the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. No, Hacha B'Iskofa and addresses Haskinan. The case of the Reisha is entirely different than the case of the Seifa, because the Iskofa is a place where people trample all over. So in that case, even those who were not as concerned about Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh, Meirosh HaGag, are much more concerned about Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh on an Iskofa, because there are people walking all over the place. So the Chacham allowed bringing it back into the Rosh HaSiyachid, and they were not gozer that it might fall out into the Rosh HaSiyachid, and you might come to carry it. So Esvei Abaye challenges Rabbah that the Braisa on the Reisha of the Mishnah elaborates that only if the Sefer was Toch Arba Amos, that only if the Sefer rolled out from the Iskofa to within four Amos, but Golotzo, only then can you roll it back. But Chutz Li Arba, but again, elaborating on the case of the Reisha, the Braisa tells us that if it rolled more than four Amos away, Hovchal Aksav, then you got to leave it there, you just flip it over. But V'yamrit Iskofa Nidreses Iskin, and if you're going to tell me that we're talking about an Iskofa that's Nidreses, that there are people that are walking over there all the time, and therefore it's going to be a huge Bizayon, well, Mali Arba Amos, Mali Chutz Arba, Mali Toch Arba Amos, Mali Chutz Arba Amos. What difference does it make if it's within four Amos or beyond four Amos? Either way, it's only in the Rabbanan. So if the Rabbanan, were not gozer, b'makom a bizayon gadol of Kisvei HaKodesh, they shouldn't have been gozer even if it's chutz li arba amos. So how can you tell me that because it's an iskof and addresses, all the Tanaim are going to agree that you're allowed to roll it back? If that were the case, you'd be allowed to roll it back even if it went very far. So elam rabaye, a third mahalich in understanding the resha of our Mishnah. The fact that we're matir by the iskofa is not because of bizayon asvarim. Hacha b'iskofa karmelis askinan. The iskofa that we're talking about is not at all the case of the Seifa. Case of the Seifa is you were on Rosh HaGag. Rosh HaGag is a Rosh HaYachid. Case of the Reisha is of the iskofa. The iskofa is a karmelis. It's not a Rosh HaYachid. So it's 4x4 tvachim, but it's less than 10 tvachim high. And the bias that it borders on is a Rosh HaYachid. Rosh HaRabim of Eretz Lefaneha. And on the other side of it is a Rosh HaRabim. So that's where the Sefer rolled out to. So the Chum allow you to bring the Sefer back to the Iskofa, because even if you do bring the entire Sefer, let's say the whole Sefer fell out to the Rosh HaRabim, bring the entire thing back onto the Iskofa would still only be an Issid Rabbanon of carrying from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis. So that's why it's different than Rosh Hagag. Rosh Hagag is a Rosh Hashayachid, where if the whole thing would have fallen out and you brought it back to Rosh Hagag, it would be a violation of a Doraisa. But in the case of the Iskofa, would even in that worst case scenario, it would only be a violation of a Rabbanon. So Tochar Babel Sinafel Maisel Aloasile De Chiyuv Chatos Sharle Rabbanon. So if it only went within 4 amos out into the Rosh Hasharabim, then worst case scenario, even if you drop the end that you're holding and you went and brought it back in, it would still only be in the Sidra Rabbanan. But Chutz the 4 amos, but if it went more than 4 amos out, the Maisile Asili De Chiyuv Chatos Lo Sharle Rabbanan. Where then, if you want to, if you dropped your end of it and you had to retrieve it from more than 4 amos out, that would violate the Nisra Daraisa being Mavir Dalet Amos Rosh Hasharabim. So that's why the Braisa qualified that if it goes more than 4 amos, then even by the case of the Iskofa, you're not allowed to bring it back. But that's assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not matir in this Rabbanan b'makom b'zayim kisvei hakodesh. Not like Rabbi Shimon, like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not going to be matir in this Rabbanan. All right, if it were a real iser of going dalet amos, where there's a regular iser Rabbanan because of a chashash that it might fall out and you'll violate an iser d'oraisa, well, we're not going to allow it. You have to leave it by the Iskofa. So the first case of the Mishnah fits Rabbi Yehuda. Ihachi, if that's true, that the reason you're not allowed to bring it back is because of a chashash that the Sefer might entirely fall into the Rosh Hasharabim, and you're going to come to violate the Chiyuv Chatos by bringing it back, then why do we not allow it only when it's Chutz L'Arba Amos, Toch Arba Amos Nami Nigzar, Dim L'Mayim Rosh Hasharabim L'Rosh Hasiyachid? Wait a second, by the Iskofa, is the only concern that if it rolls out and you drop the other end, that you're going to bring it from the Rosh Hasharabim onto the Iskofa? The Iskofa borders on a house also. The house is a Rosh Hasiyachid. Shouldn't we be concerned? Isn't it a legitimate concern that if the Sefer falls out into the Rosh Hashanah, you're going to pick it up and bring it back inside, and you can bring it into the Rosh Hashanah. The Chitema Kim the Mafsekas Carmelis lesson, but unless and if you're going to tell me no, even that wouldn't be in the Siddur Raisa because you're walking through the Iskofa and the Iskofa is a Carmelis. Vamarava Maver Chefetz Mitchilas Arba Lasof Arba Veviru Derech Olav Chayiv. But Rava tells us not so, that even if you bring something through a Makom Patur, through a Carmelis, but you take something from a Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah or vice versa, you are going to be chayev mido oraisa because it didn't stop in the makom patur. So over here also, if it falls out into the Rosh Hashanah and you bring it back into the Rosh Hashayachid derech ha-iskofa through the Carmelis, you'd still be chayev minatora. So we should aser it even when you're holding one end in your hand because of a gezeira that you might come to violate the doraisa. So it says Marna hachma eskinon b'iskofa aruka adachi v'achi midkar. We're talking about where the iskofa is a very long Iskofa. So there's no chance, or there's very little chance, that you're going to carry it straight from Rosh Hashanah through the Iskofa to Rosh Hashanah without realizing in between. It's such a long walk that probably somewhere along the Iskofa you'll come to the realization, wait a second, I probably should not be carrying this any further, and therefore there's no concern that you're going to come to carry it that far. The Bala Ma'or points out that this teretz is not la halacha, because in general, when it comes to Gzeros Chachamim, we don't start assessing each case. How likely are you to remember? How unlikely are you to remember? We have in Shabbos Taf Yud Beis when it comes to Lo Yikra La Oraner. So Rabbi says in the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Yud Beis that you're not allowed to read La Oraner b'Shabbos. Why? Gzeira Shemiyata. You might come to tilt the candle and to chshash that you're going to be mechaba the candle. Says Rabbi, even if the ner is gavoa shtei komos, even if the ner is 2 stories high and you're going to have to climb up ladders in order to get to the ner, still it's not going to. You're not allowed to do. Why? When I climb up the ladder, I'm probably going to remember somewhere up there, Gzeira Shemiyata is like in the heat of the moment, I'm just going to tilt it a little bit. I'm climbing up a ladder 2 stories, I'll probably remember, says Bala Ma'or. You see that it's a low plug that the Rabbanan don't assess each case independently. So we hear also by the Iskofa, it doesn't matter how long it is, La Halacha, it shouldn't matter how long it is. The Ramban, however, disagrees with the Bala Ma'or, and he says that you can't compare Gzeiros Chachamim to each other, and it could be that the Chachamim thought it was a low plug by Kriya La'or and there, Shemayata. But over here, the Rabbanan didn't make a low plug, and they thought that by the Iskofa, if it's a longer Iskofa, there's no reason to make a Xerav. He, by Yisem, or another possibility, is the old Iskofa Shena Aruka. Maybe it's a regular sized Iskofa, the Stam Kisvei HaKodesh, Yuni Ma'in Bu, Umanachluhu, that a regular Kisvei HaKodesh, you don't just pick up and move them, you look in them. You stop to pause, to take a look. So when you stop in place to take a look, so it turns out that it's Munach. So we're not Choshesh that you're going to carry the Sefer straight from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, because when you stand in the Iskofa to stop, to take a look, to read from it, it turns out that you've stopped and did a Hanacha in the Carmelis. If you then pick it up, take it further from there into the Rosh Hashanah, so then you carry it from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah. So there's no Choshesh that you're going to violate, and this is Daraisa. Who says you're going to stop to look on the Iskofa? You might pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah, look at it there, and then when you finish looking at it in the Rosh Hashanah, you'll carry it straight from there into the Rosh Hashanah through the Iskofa. So it says Gemara, Hamani ben Azai, Damar Mahalich Ha'omid. No, we must be assuming like the Shita of Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds that Mahalich Ha'omid, that every step you take is another... another pause. And therefore, since you're stepping in the Carmelis, so it's a Hanacha, and then when you go then from the Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah, it's a new Akira and Hanacha. V'dilma zarek l'mizrak, but shouldn't we still be Choshesh that you might throw the Kisvei HaKodesh from the Rosh Hasharabim to a Rosh Hashanah? The Marshal points out that the Gemara's Kasha is only if you're assuming that like the answer that Stam Kisvei HaKodesh or Ma'ayin Behem, that you'd stop to look at them. But according to the Shita that it's a Skofa Arucha, the Gemara wouldn't be asking, you might throw it. If it's an Iskofa Arucha, you don't have such a good arm. You're not going to be able to throw it through the entire Iskofa Arucha, says Marsha. But if the answer that we're relying on now is that you're going to stop to read from it, but maybe you're going to throw it after you stop to read from it, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Moda Ben Azai, Bezorek. Ben Azai is Moda, that if you throw something from a Shusram to a Shusiyachid, even if it passes through a Carmelis, you're Chayiv, because it never rested in the Carmelis. So Ravacha Barava, Zosamel. Ain mezarkin kisvei hakodesh. Who does such a thing? Who throws kisvei hakodesh? That's not what we do. The Ritva points out that even though the Gemara is saying this within the Shita of Ben Azai, that din that you don't throw kisvei hakodesh is muskum l'chol adeos. The Rabbanan who are cholik on Ben Azai also say that you don't throw kisvei hakodesh. That's something that's fundamental to how we treat, how we honor kisvei hakodesh. Right? That's something that's deep in the Jewish, ingrained in the Jewish neshama that we honor kisvei hakodesh. Right? Today's your response to the Zecher Nishmas Rabbi Sachs. He used to always talk about how Jews value the book and how we value education more than anything else, and that's a characteristic. I don't remember if I heard from him or someone else once said that there was a maisa that a woman who was a non-observant woman, I think, was dropping off her child at public school one day, and there were all these children running into school. It was raining outside, so they were all running into school, and she commented to her child, "I could see which kids are the Jewish kids and which kids are the non-Jewish kids. How can you tell which kids are the Jewish kids?" She said, "When the non-Jewish kids are taking their books and they're holding them over their heads to protect them from the rain. The Jewish kids are taking their books and they're holding them under their jacket to protect the books from the rain." That's the way it's like deeply ingrained in the Jewish psyche that we have this covet asvarim, that we have this this great covet. I once had a maisi here in the neighborhood many, many years ago already. Like one of my first couple of years in the neighborhood, Rabbi Shapiro was the rabbi in our Torah. Rabbi Shapiro called me up. He said he was out of town and someone was very sick, was holding by the end, was on their deathbed. Can I go and be with the family and guide them? So I went. I started talking to them, and it was very obvious that they were not. They certainly weren't always Torah observant, and so it was unclear to me if they were at all Torah observant. So I asked them, "How did you end up in our Torah? It's an Orthodox shul." So they said that the woman told me, the daughter of the woman who was dying, said to me that she used to daven in temple in a conservative temple, and one day on Yom Kippur, I think it was, she said they opened the Aron and the Chazan took the Sefer Torah and he accidentally dropped the Sefer Torah, and there was a gasp. Everyone gasped, and the rabbi said, "Don't worry about everyone. It's just the Sefer Torah. It's not like a person fell. It's okay. And we'll just pick it up and we'll go on." And like just like that, she said that was it. He didn't even make a big deal out of it. He didn't think that a Sefer Torah falling mattered. That was it. That was my last day there. That was I switched to an Orthodox shul. We have Jews have this sense of covered asvarim. There's a question about that. If this is a maramakum, this might be this idea of Ein Mezark and Kisvei HaKodesh, even Shabbos, weekday, whatever. We just don't do that because it's a because it's a bizayon. Magnavram writes in Simon Mem Dalid that there's a ksas smach to that which the olam is knowing, that when tefillin falls on the ground and or sefer Torah falls on the ground, that we fast, because you see that this is something that's considered a bizayon. In the Kapos Tamarim, he says that the reason for the minhag olam that when tefillin falls out of our hands that we fast is because it's a zilzul in the tefillin when they fall, and he brings a smach ledavar from the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says that you shouldn't hold on to your tefillin while you daven. And Rashi says, because libo tarud, that you're so focused when you're holding tefillin in your hand that it shouldn't fall and shouldn't be nisbaza, so that's why you're not going to be able to focus during davening. So you see that when tefillin fall, apparently it's considered a bizoy. So since it's a zilzul tefillin that you didn't guard them properly, you have to fast in order for it to achieve kaparas havonos. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuvin, Rav Moshe Archaim Chele Gimel, that he says, I don't understand why do you have to bring a raya from the case of carrying tefillin. It's mefurish in our sugya that you don't throw kisvei hakodesh mishum bizayon. He says, what's a bigger bizayon, to throw something to a safe place or something to fall on the ground? He says, Ramesh says, I think it's a bigger bizayon if something falls on the ground. So if we don't even throw something where you're aiming for something, you're throwing it on the couch, you're throwing it on a place that's going to be safe, but we just don't do that to kisvei hakodesh. So certainly if something falls on the ground, then it's mutal bizayon. We wouldn't do such a thing. The Magen Avraham writes that the tainus that we do when tefillin fall is only if it falls without the not in its box, but if it falls inside its box, then it's not a problem. So that's a, you have a similar concept in Tshuva Simra Yosha and Chelik Beis. Simra Kufayin Aleph from Meir Arik was asked about sending Sefer Torah in the mail. Can you send the Sefer Torah in the mail? I can't imagine someone wanting to risk that, but if you normally, if you bring one from Eretz Yisrael to here, someone brings it, right? They put it in a duffel bag and they bring it. Rabbi Teller told me that he was once bringing a Sefer Torah from America to Eretz Yisrael, the restored Sefer Torah, and he, as he was going through security, LL security, they stopped him, and there was like a whole tumult, and there was phone calls back and forth, the whole plane was boarded, and he said, what's going on? And the captain came out, and the captain said, a Sefer Torah doesn't just walk onto the plane just like that. We're going to escort it onto the plane. Sefer Torah sits in first class. he was sitting in sardine class, but the Sefer Torah was buckled into a seat. It was very comfortable for the whole trip. There's a Tshuvas Mari Brona who was asked about, if someone's tefillin fell, what do you do? So he said that he saw that the minhag of his rebbeim was that if you didn't eat that day, you should fast for the rest of the day. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, like, what's the basis of that? Is that based on a simin min hashamayim, that you view it as like a simin, that something, that you did something wrong? Or is it just you're fasting because you're on avera for lack of shmira? Nafkamina would be if it was an onus, right? If it wasn't a lack of shmira, sometimes there's an onus. There's something that's beyond your control. An earthquake happens and the Sefer Torah falls. So it's an onus that something a person couldn't control. Okay, vayter in the Gemara now. Yikari Barosh Agag. A person was reading Barosh Agag and the Sefer falls out of his hand, it rolls out. So we had three shitas. Tanakam said if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, then he has to be hovchol aksav. So mishari, are you allowed to put a sefer Torah upside down? Va'atanya kosi sam tefillin mezuzah la'tir la'napoch yiriyah al paneha elo pores aleha asabeged. Didn't we learn that's not the way to do it? You don't turn a sefer Torah on its face. You put a beged over it to cover it. So right in between aliyos, we put the mantle over the sefer Torah. We don't flip the thing. We don't flip the sefer Torah on its face. You're not supposed to do that. So says mar hasam efshar hachalo efshar. When it comes to the Svarim, they have a beged available to them to cover it up with. But over here, when the Sefer Torah rolled out of your hand, it's not efshar. It's not possible to cover with a beged because you don't have a beged. Rashi understands at least that you don't have a beged available to you. But if you have a beged available to you, that's certainly much better than being hov chalak sav. So you do see that even hov chalak sav is a little bit of a bizayon. That's why our practice is when we have Sifrei Kodesh, we don't flip them over and hold the place by putting it, we take a tissue or something, put it in, and then close the Sefer. A bookmark or something like that, rather than to flip the sefer over. Now that's how Rashi understands that it's a question of availability of a cloth. Most of the other Rishonim disagree. The Tosos in Dibra Maskel Hacha and the Rashba and the Rabbi Yonasan, they say that even if you have a beged mezuman, you're not allowed to put it over the sefer, because just like you're not allowed to be golel the sefer to you, so too, meaning it's a Hilchos Shabbos problem. Same reason that it's also in Hilchos Shabbos to roll the sefer Torah to you, because it's half out into the Rosh Hashanah. HaSarabim, you can't take a cloth and put it half out in the Rosh HaSarabim from where you are. So that's why it's EFshar, because of the Hilcha Shabbos issue, it's EFshar. But obviously, during the week, it's EFshar, and that's what you're supposed to do. And if you don't flip it on the Ksav, it would be a greater Bizayin Kisvei HaKodesh to have the Ksav facing out. Okay, Hofchal Ksav. We said in the Mishnah that you flip it over. So, Vahalonach, so ask the Gemara, why is it also to bring it back? The Sefer is not resting in the Rosh HaSarabim, meaning it's dangling from a roof. So, there's no Hanacha. What's the problem with rolling it back? There was no Hanacha on the Rosh HaSarabim. No, you're on a rooftop, and the wall of the building is not straight down, it's a slanted wall. So, when it rolls out, it's rolling on the wall of the building. So, it actually does have Hanacha in the airspace of the Rosh HaSarabim. So, I'm Abayi Kimta. What was the ukimta you made in our Mishnah that because of Meshupa, Ema Seva, but then the Seva goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that even if it's just an inch off the ground, you can roll it back. But if it's resting on the ground of Rosh HaSarabim, then you're not allowed to roll it back. But if we're talking about a Kosel Meshupa, why when it's not resting on the ground, Mamish, is Rabbi Yehuda allow you to be machzirit, to bring it back? It has a hanacha in the Rosh HaSarabim. So says Marach, you have to add a little detail into the Mishnah. The Mishnah should read as follows. Bamed var mamurim b'kosel meshupa. That when do we say you're not allowed to roll it back? That's only by kosel meshupa. Avol b'kosel sheinu meshupa. But if you have a straight wall where it's dangling, so lemala mishlosha golat, so lemata mishlosha hofchal ksav. Then if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, you can roll it back. But within three tefachim off the ground, you have to flip it over to the ksav. Because within three tefachim off the ground, it's considered as if it's mamish resting in the Rosh HaSarabim, because that's already within Lavud. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilu and Mistuk Menaretz, Rabbi Yehuda said, even if it's just Melo Achut from the ground that you're able to bring it back, Dibin and Hanachal Gabi Mashu, because Hanachal can't be if it's dangling. Hanachal means it has to be on something. It has to be physically resting on something. Lavud is not enough to be considered a real Hanacha. Even if it's very close to the ground, there's no real Hanacha. So Rava's answer said that apparently Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. If in order to be Chayev Achatas, you need Hanacha on something. So the Gemara asks on Rava, wait a second. Ve'lahadam Rava. Rava said elsewhere that Tokshlo Shal Rabbanan Tzarech Hanacha Lema Katanayam L'Shmaite. Rava said in Masech HaShabbos that if you have an object that's within three tefachim of the ground, according to the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Akiva and hold that an object that goes into the airspace of a Rishus is not considered to be resting on the ground. But if it's within three tefachim of the ground in the airspace, then it is considered even if it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's not considered munach. So tzarech hanacha, you need hanacha on a makom mesuyam. So lema katanayim l'shmaite, you're going to say that it's tali in a machlokas tanayim, and when he said that when it's in the airspace within three tefachim, that it's not munach, that's only according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, but the Tanakam of our Mishnah will say that you don't need Hanacha al Gabi Mashu. It sounds like he's saying that comment in Shabbos Tav Kuf L'chol Adeos, not only according to one Shita. So it says Mara Elukula Rabbi Yehudihi. No, the whole Mishnah is going like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda V'chisur Mechzer V'Hachikdani, and we can learn the Mishnah as if it's missing a line. Here's how it goes: Bamed Varmamurim. When do we say that if it's within three tefachim of the ground, you're not allowed to bring it back? That's because of Meshupa. That's only if the Kosel is on a slant. So it's actually resting on something. But if it's a kosel she'ena meshupa and it's dangling, then even if it's within three tefachim of the ground, you're still allowed to roll it back because there is no hanacha in the Rosh HaSarabim. Because we know that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that if it's dangling a little bit off the ground, even just a tiny drop off the ground, you're still allowed to be golo etzlov. My time, what's the reason that if it's not touching the ground, you could still roll it back? To be an hanacha al gabi mashu, because you need an actual hanacha, you need a physical hanacha on a physical place, and you don't have a physical hanacha if it's dangling off of the ground, if it's not actually resting somewhere on the ground. So that is according to Shitas Rava, who requires hanacha al gabi mashu even within three tefachim of the ground, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva. But if you look in the Sugya in Shabbos, you'll find that Rabbi Chilkiah in Shabbos Tosaf Sadi Zayin disagrees, and he holds that within three tefachim of the ground, it's always considered munach, and according to him, you have to say our Mishnah goes like we originally explained our Mishnah, that it's machlokas, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yudan. According to the Rabbanan, three tefachim within the ground, you're not allowed to bring it back, because that's already considered munach al gabe karka, that it would actually be a machlokas, meaning this whole taich of the Mishnah, that there's no machlokas, that when it's within three tefachim of the ground, but it's not resting on something, it's not considered a munach, that's within Rava's explanation. But according to other Amorayim that appear in Masechta Shabbos, itaka is a machlokas, whether being within three tefachim of the ground, even it dangling in the air, is considered a hanacha or not. That's what the Gaon Yaakov points out, that very often you have to learn two sugyas in concert with each other. That you see one sugya totally divorced from the other sugya, you get one impression, but if you learn both of the sugyas together, you get the fuller picture. Okay, so now new Mishnah says the Mishnah Ziz Shalvnei Chalon. Let's say you have a ledge in front of a window on a second story. Let's say it's more than 10 tefachim off of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it's 4x4 tefachim. So Nosan Love and Not the Mimena B'Shabbos. You could people who live in the Aliyah could take objects from their house and put it on the window, so they could put it on the ledge, and they could take items off of the ledge and bring it into their homes on Shabbos because the Ziz itself is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So Hai Ziz Demapik Lehecha. Well, what Rosh is the ziz, is this ledge protruding out into? If it's protruding out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, how can we say that you're going to allow to take things from the ziz to the house and the house to the ziz? Shouldn't you have to be worried that the item might fall, and then you're going to come to carry it from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim back into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? No, so it must be that the ziz is protruding out into a chatzar, into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So it says Mar, well, then of course you're allowed to take items from your house and put on the ziz. The whole thing is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The whole area is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. What would be the chiddush in such a case? No, it's Rosh Hashanah. When we say that you can put items on the ziz, why aren't you concerned it might fall and then you're going to pick it up and bring it back inside? No, we're talking about very fragile items that if they fall, they will break. And then you'll have no reason to bring them back inside. You'll have no desire to bring them back inside. In Tanya Nami Yachid, you have a brisa that says just like this. Ziz shel v'nei HaChalon, HaYotzi, L'Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if you have a ledge in front of your window that protrudes out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Nosan Alav Ka'aros, Vekosos, Kitonios, Utslochios, it gives examples of the types of kelim that you could put out there. You can put plates and cups and things like that, and if they fall into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, all of those things break. So there's no chashash that it's going to fall in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you're going to want to bring it back. So from the fact that the Braisa chose those kelim, it sounds like it's dafka those kelim that you're allowed to put out, because those kelim are fragile kelim, but if they were non-fragile kelim, then in a chinami we'd have a chashash that if it fell, you might come to carry it back into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So once we're on the topic of aziz, a few other halachos relating to aziz. Umishtamish b'kol hakosel ad asara tachtonim. You could use the entire aziz, even if it's resting along the whole length of the wall, and even if it's lower than your window. But that's only if it's up until the bottom 10 tefachim that are within the 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Meaning it's got to be that it's more than 10 tefachim off of the karka of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if it's not more than 10 tefachim off the karka of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then you're not allowed to use such a ziz. And if there's another ziz below the ledge that's coming out of your window, mishtamishbo, you could use even the bottom ziz. Uba elyon enu mishtamishbo, but the top ziz you're not allowed to use. Ela keneged chalono, except for the area that's directly outside of your window. So it says, well, what is going on over here? You have two ziz in the bottom one, you're allowed to use the top one, only the part that's directly across from your window. Why? Hi ziz, this upper ziz that the Bryce is saying that you're allowed to use only what's directly outside of your window, hechidami. If it's less than 4x4 tvachim, so then makum pturu, it's a makum ptur. Vafilu keneged chalono nami lo yishtamesh, and then you shouldn't use it even keneged chalono, because the kelim that are placed in such as is are very likely to fall into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's such a small space. It's less than 4x4 tvachim. So that will look like you're throwing things out the window into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That would be bad. You're putting it on this tiny ledge where it's likely to fall. And if this is 4x4 tefachim, then why is it only mutter to use the area keneged achalon? It's a rishus ayachid b'kulei kosel l'shtamesh. Why can't you use the entire all along where this is goes all along the entire wall? Why only the part that's directly right outside of your window? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Anukimta Tachton de ispe arba'a ve'elyon de lespe arba'a. The case of the brisa must be that the lower ledge is 4x4 tefachim, and the upper ledge is not 4x4 tefachim, but the chalono mashlim matola arba'a. But when you take into account the chalon itself, it's mashlim the upper ledge to 4x4 tefachim. So keneged chalon mishtamesh dechare chalonu. So the part of this is that's directly across from the chalon that you're allowed to use. You could put kelim on and take kelim off of because that's considered an expansion of the chalon itself. The haigisa, but whatever is beyond your chalon, so it narrows. This is narrows when it's outside, when it's beyond your chalon. It's only because of your chalon that it was 4 tefachim to begin with. So since it narrows, it's going to be less than 4 tefachim, and therefore you would not be allowed to be mishtamish with such a ziz if it's less than 4 tefachim. We'll stop there. Bezron, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. Okay, have a great day, everybody.